This is Texans Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amegy Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
A beautiful day in San Francisco inside Candlestick Park for the last time for the Houston Texans as they prepare to take on the San Francisco 49ers. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Texans Huddle. Patty Smith alongside General Manager Rick Smith. And boy, you could not have ordered better weather for this one.
Yeah, my wife is from the Bay Area. She warned me how cold it was going to be, Patty, but not today. We've got a great day. We've had a great week of work, and so I'm excited to watch our team play tonight.
Well, you know, I've talked all week about the team having team meetings, and, you know, as I watch these players coming out onto the field to warm up, they seem to have kind of an inner focus. Just sort of your expectations on what you're hoping to see tonight.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that meeting. I think that was all about accountability, and I think that they know how important this season is, and I think that they are a little disappointed in, obviously, the way that things happened last week, and so they wanted to make sure that each man is accountable to each other, and that's what I saw in practice this week. That's why I really expect us to play well tonight.
Well, with the late game, as you said, being tonight, we have the advantage of knowing how the earlier games played out. The Indianapolis Colts obviously won their game. How important is it now for the Texans to get this one to sort of keep pace in the AFC South?
Well, it's a long season, obviously, but we've got to take care of our business, and that's what we're really focused on, and that's why, you know, tonight is very, very important for us, you know, for that and for us to play the kind of ball that we're capable of playing as well.
All right, well, let's check out how it all unfolded in this week's Texans Rewind.
After two straight losses, the Texans are on the road, taking on a defending conference champion. A win keeps them close to the top of the division. A loss sends them to their longest losing streak in 2 years.
Well, the highlights for the Houston Texans were actually few and far between in this one, and couldn't have started out worse for Matt Schaub, who on his first pass attempt of the night threw his fourth pick six in as many games.
Schaub out of the gun, puts the leg down, gets the snap, throws to his right. It's picked off across the 15, 10, 5, touchdown San Francisco. It happens again, another interception for a touchdown as Tremaine Brock picked it off and took it to the house.
We had a play like Andre's little out route inside, and the corner fell off of Keyshawn and jumped around. I mean, he made a good play, but you know, I had a good look to go to Andre right there.
It's frustrating. You know, I'm sure it's even more frustrating for him than it is for us. You know, but like I said, this is not the end of our season. You know, we're not, you know, gonna, you know, hit the panic button or anything, but we do know we need to get things fixed, and we need to get them fixed, you know, fast.
By the second quarter, the Texans were down 21-0 when the offense finally started to move. Arian Foster highlighted the drive with our HCC Go Get It, It's Yours play of the week.
Matt takes the snap, hand off Arian, and Arian gets initial contact, dives forward for the first down to the 42-yard line.
Unfortunately, the drive stalled, and the only Texans points came in the third quarter with a Randy Bullock 41-yard field goal.
The snap is down. Bullock's kick is up, has the distance, and the Texans are finally on the board. They trail San Francisco 21-3.
Turnovers once again were the deciding factor as Ben Tate put the ball on the ground yet again, and Matt Schaub would go on to throw two more interceptions on the night before finally being replaced by T.J. Yates in the fourth quarter.
As a team, we need to get better and get better fast, and that's myself included, most importantly. You know, we work too hard. You know, I've worked too hard since I walked in this building to come to this right now, and, you know, I'm better than I'm playing, and our team's better than we're playing, and, you know, we need to all correct it very fast.
Obviously, there's concerns about trying to get what we're, you know, not doing fixed, but, you know, you can't sit there and be able to kind of put blame here and put blame there. You got to come together as an offense, defense, and special teams and be able to get this thing right. You know, a couple years ago, we were sitting at 3-3, 500, and made a nice little run and got into the playoffs. So there's no end of the season by any means, but we just got to get it right.
We're at that point where you're at the bottom, and it's time to climb to the top. And there's no excuses. I'm not going to sit here and try and sugarcoat anything. We're going to come in. We're going to grind. We're going to find a way to win. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like this game was all fun in games. It wasn't fun, but all we can do is come in. Like I said, once you hit bottom, it's time to rise to the top, and that's all we can do.
All right, well, not only are the fans out here in droves at Candlestick, I've got two special ones down here, Tony Jones and Giralda. And what's up with the costumes here, guys?
Well, they told us Candlestick is really cold at nighttime because of the ocean, so they said dress warm for Sunday Night Football. Ergo, I did.
And first time here, obviously.
This is my first time here, so you know what? I decided to dress up in the best.
Yeah, the best. All right, we're going to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. Plenty more when we come back, including a visit with the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. And, Mark, boy, we talked about this heading into the game. The inconceivable could not possibly happen, a fourth straight pick six for Matt Schaub, and that's exactly how we started this one.
Patty, I'm still blown away that it could possibly happen, but it did. Early on, Matt Schaub throws the interception to Tremaine Brock, who jumps the route, and Schaub was never the same after that. I thought maybe that he'd be able to start bawling after that, kind of let it all hang out, say, all right, I got that one out of the way, let's just go, kind of like the San Diego game. Did not work out that way. He threw another one to Brock, and he threw another one late to Tony Girardetti, who was in a zone drop situation, and Matt was off the mark most of the day as the offense never got clicking. It's not just him. Pass protection's not good. They did run the ball okay, I guess. They had a fumble by Ben Tate in the second half, but that was after the outcome was already decided. And defensively, Patty, they did not get the takeaways they were looking for. We talked about this a lot. They've had three takeaways on the season through five games, two last week against Seattle. They need more. I know that they can't shoulder the whole burden with Schaub going through his slump, but they've got to try to help the cause with takeaways. Yardage-wise, though, they're fantastic. Number one in the National Football League.
Was there any surprise to you one way or the other at the timing of when T.J. Yates finally did come in?
Not really. It was the third pick. Yates started to warm up. We talked about it on the radio. We got a lot of tweets about that and everything. We saw TJ warming up. TJ is not going to act alone and start picking up a football and throwing it. He was told to go into the game, and even though they scored after that, the Niners did, to really put it out of reach, what, 31-3 at that particular point, it was time to get TJ into the game. Had the defense made a stop and Yates scores and now it's a 14-point deficit, who knows what happens in the contest. Maybe they're able to get back into it. But I think the outcome was decided by then. And Gary Kubiak going with Matt Schaub, to me, is really no surprise. He still gives you your best chance to win as long as he plays at a Matt Schaub high level, which he hasn't done lately.
Did you find it interesting how that determination came out middle of the week versus on Monday, where Gary usually comes out and says, Matt's our quarterback, which he did say Matt is our quarterback, but never officially said that Matt will be starting next week. We're going to evaluate, spend 2 days evaluating.
Yeah, they evaluated, Patty. There's no question about that. They said it was a, quote, tough decision on Wednesday, and Gary Kubiak announced Schaub would start. Now, I've talked to a lot of people around the league. I talked to Peter King this week, just everybody, and everybody's got an opinion. Some people think, well, T.J. Yates should be the starter or anybody else, but a lot of people say that Schaub is the best possible solution to Schaub's problems, playing himself out of it, try to find a way to get hot again somehow. Jim Kelly was on our flagship station this week, and he said when he went through slumps, he would just try to execute the simple passes to a back, to a tight end, whatever, short stuff. Just get himself back in rhythm. Get himself going again. I don't know what the solution is, but Gary Kubiak saying it was a tough decision, that does not bode well for the future of Schaub if he does not start playing a whole lot better. You know he's capable of it. It's just a question of whether he does it or not.
Well, and how much can one man endure as a man? I mean, you've got not just what he feels like he let down his teammates or he's got fans booing him, but now you've got fans going to his house. I mean, how much can you separate that from what you have to just get out of your slump?
You know, and this city, the football history here, Patty, is filled with quarterbacks undergoing tremendous scrutiny and criticism and, in some cases, vandalism. Dan Pastorini's car, once upon a time, mirrors ripped off and tires slashed. Warren Moon suffered racial threats and his family was threatened. I mean, it was bad for these guys. And these guys are now Houston legends, really. And Matt Schaub is going through an extremely difficult time. He's got to find a way to play through it. The team is doing all it can to help him out. And he's a terrific guy, does a ton for the community. He does not deserve to be treated badly. If you keep things in a football context, that's fine, but a lot of people take it out of that context, and it's just not fair.
All right, well, let's turn the page and move forward, looking at the St. Louis Rams coming to Reliance Stadium. What can you tell us about the Rams, and what can we expect to see?
Tough front seven, Patty, and that makes it a difficult challenge for this offensive line. I hear too many people around town saying, oh, yeah, the Rams, get well, team, no problem. There's no such thing as no problem in the National Football League. Don't I bring it up every week, what Jacksonville did to this team last year, taking them deep into overtime, and it happens every week, it seems, some monumental upset you weren't expecting. The Texans better be ready for this challenge. Jeff Fisher is a good coach. He's had some success in this building. You got to be very careful with the way you pass protect for Matt. Make sure you get the running game clicking. I mean, I know we say the same stuff every week, but you got to have that stuff going. And again, win the turnover battle, please. And I think the defense will have a good time against Sam Bradford. He can make some plays. He's very positive in the TD to interception ratio. But this defense in this building should be able to have some success.
All right, we have to take a timeout here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, we will visit with offensive lineman Dwayne Brown, and then Mark will be back a little bit later on to go into the mailbag. Stay with us.
Wine and dine with the Houston Texans players, cheerleaders, and ambassadors at the Taste of the Texans, presented by BP, Monday, November 18th at Reliance Stadium. Sample signature dishes from more than 25 of Houston's finest restaurants. Be sure to secure your tickets today at HoustonTexans.com.
Be sure to go to HoustonTexans.com and vote for the Whataburger Player of the Month. September's nominees include Earl Mitchell, nominated by the Ninja, Antonio Smith. Garrett Graham was selected by fellow tight end Owen Daniels. And right tackle Derek Newton was nominated by left tackle Dwayne Brown. The winner will make an appearance with the player who nominated them at a Houston area Whataburger near you. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, offensive lineman Dwayne Brown. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
Let's get the San Francisco game out of the way and behind us. Obviously, a tough one, a tough pill for you guys to swallow. But just sort of your thoughts coming out of that and really how much you guys as a unit have had to sort of be there for Matt.
It was a very tough game. You know, I think we all fought hard. You know, the effort was there, but just it didn't quite execute. You know, when you turn the ball over against a great team like San Francisco, they're going to make you pay for it. And that's exactly what happened. Matt's going to be fine. You know, us as a group, as a unit, we have his back 100%. You know, I've been here and I've been in many battles with him, and he has my confidence. He has my support 100%. Same goes as well as the rest of the offense and the team in general. So he knows that.
Well, clearly you guys are a team. You have had his back. Gary's had his back. And I know he knows that and feels that. But as a friend and just a little bit more than a teammate, it's got to hurt to watch a guy that you do care about, that you do go in the trenches with, kind of going through some of the things he's going through.
Absolutely. You know, and the city, you know, our fan base, you know, the American in general can be brutal when they don't know exactly what goes into being an NFL player, an NFL quarterback. He works his tail off to be good at what he does, and he has for a long time, you know, and everyone has to respect that and respect that he wants to succeed, and he has. He's been a great player for a long time. You know, he's just been through a rough patch, and we all as competitors and athletes go through it sometimes, you know, but he's going to find his way out of it, and we're going to help him out.
Let's talk about you specifically coming back this last week, missing a couple games with the turf toe. First of all, how is it doing now, and how did it feel for you to be back out there?
It felt awesome. It felt so good to be out there competing with my teammates and in a big game like that. It's doing well. You know, it's a little bit sore after the game, but that was to be expected. But nothing out of control, nothing I can't handle.
You know, is it one of those things I remember back in the day when Deion Sanders had turf toe? And, you know, it just seems like, you're kidding me, a toe?
Right.
And you as a competitor, you know, I know you want to be out there. It's not something you can play through. How frustrating is that to mentally know you can and should be out there, but physically either you or someone's not letting you, or you just know it's not the best thing to do?
It's very frustrating. You know, people look at me and say, he's 6'5", 300 pounds, a toe won't be a problem. But the position I play and what I do, everything that I do is off of the inside of my feet, you know, so all of my weight is being pressed off of that toe, and it was extremely painful, and the pain is something I could deal with, but it making me less of a player was something that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to go out there and hurt myself or hurt the team, you know, so I wanted to wait till I was confident in it. And I could play to the best of my ability, and that's what I was able to do on Sunday.
You guys sitting here now with a record of 2-3, obviously not where you thought or where you wanted to be. Can you kind of maybe compare this to the last season where you started out like gangbusters, were just ripping them off one after another, you know, but then didn't finish down the stretch? Maybe in some, because it's early enough, maybe in some strange way this can work itself out and work in your favor?
It absolutely can. I don't think by any means us or anyone else should hit panic button or feel like the season is lost, because it's far from that. You know, last year we won 9 straight, I think. And, you know, everyone's singing our praises, and then you lose those last few, and it, you know, it's like, what happened? And we lost 3, and we still have plenty more games to play, you know, and the possibilities are endless for us still at this point. We just have to find our stride. I think that's the main thing in this league, is finding your stride and keeping it, you know, and being consistent. And we just have to find that and stick to it.
St. Louis Rams coming to Reliance Stadium this weekend. When you start to look at their defense and what you're up against them, what stands out, and what's it going to take to be successful?
I think what stands out to them the most is their pass rush ability. You know, they're pretty good in the run game. They have a lot of speed. But the pass rush, I think, is the main thing. They have 2 pretty good defensive ends with Robert Quinn and Chris Long that, you know, they make it a habit of getting to the quarterback. So, first and foremost, you want to run the ball. You know, that's something that we've been doing well all year, just haven't really been in the right circumstances to do it constantly. You know, we want to be in that kind of game where we can run the ball over and over again. And if we have to drop back, I'll be able to protect and give Matt time back there.
All right, great stuff. Thank you so much, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right, we have to take a time out here on Texas Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, the voice, Mark Vandermeer, will be back. Stay with us.
Gear up today with the latest Houston Texans Nike jerseys, women's and kids' apparel, T-shirts, hats, and much more at the Go Texans store inside Reliance Stadium. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and online anytime at shop.houstontexans.com.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network, by Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans, by Texas Emergency Care Center, any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are, and by MD Anderson, making cancer history.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Mark, before we get to mailbag, let's touch on Owen Daniels. We all know at this point that Owen was injured in the San Francisco game, but officially placed on IR.
IR designated to return. Do you want the glass half full or glass half empty?
I always want the glass half full.
All right, glass half full. Garrett Graham is playing really well, and Ryan Griffin, who they drafted in the 6th round out of the University of Connecticut, is also looking very good. So I think these two guys can fill the role very well. Now, you can't replace an Owen Daniels, all right? He's a 2-time Pro Bowler. He's one of the best route runners in the National Football League, barring position. He's that crisp and sharp, and that's a big reason why he's been so productive. Glass half empty, you're going to get it anyway, is that when he went out in 2009 in Week 8, they lost the first 4 games without him. Now, I think they were still moving the football pretty well at that particular point, and then they won their last 4 games to finally finish 9-7, but it's a big loss. I mean, OD is such a steady guy, locker room, field, valuable contributor to the offense. It is a loss, but I think they have the personnel to absorb this one. They also re-signed Jake Byrne to be on the 53-man roster and help out at tight end.
All right, well, that leads us to our first mailbag question. Mailbag, of course, is brought to you by
the Texas Lottery. Play the Houston Texans scratch-off game today.
All right, Amy has our first question relating to Owen Daniels being out, and she wants to know, since Owen is Matt Schaub's favorite target, does that actually change the offensive scheme?
I think it affects the offensive scheme more than it changes it, Amy. I think what you're looking at here is, yeah, Garrett Graham's going to get a lot of catches, but he's been very productive anyway, and now you're going to see the rookie Ryan Griffin get involved in the act as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing that part of it, because I think Griffin has a big future in this league.
All right, Jeremy wants to know, with Ben Tate putting the ball on the ground once again, how does that affect his playing time moving forward?
Ben Tate is going to play, okay? Ben Tate will get back into the game. Gary Kubiak loves the use of Ben Tate and Arian Foster in the same backfield from time to time. They used that last week. You know, kind of changes some of the matchups. At first he said, you know, he put Ben Tate in the backfield during practice the previous week because Greg Jones was out with an injury. But Ben Tate's going to see some action. And Chick Harris told me this week, big factor in Arian Foster being so productive over the last few years is being able to have a Ben Tate spell.
All right, and Ron noticed that in the San Francisco game, Antonio Smith was sharing quite a bit of time with Jared Krick. What's going on with that rotation?
Well, in the particular game he's talking about, Antonio suffered a big thigh contusion, and Bill Kolar was trying to sub him out a little bit and get him some rest. on first and second downs and use them in a pass rush situation. So I don't know if we're going to see too much more of that.
Okay, great stuff. As always, that's all the time we have for this week's show. But be sure to tune in on Sunday, 10 a.m., as the Houston Texans take on the St. Louis Rams. We will be counting it down on Texans Countdown Live and then flip back over to Fox Sports Southwest after the game for Texans Wrap. Have a great week, everyone.
The 2-2 Texans and the 2-2 San Francisco 49ers.
Group of playmakers, we're going to take all this whole group to get this game won tonight. Don't worry about all the negativity that's going on. You know, stand for each other, stand behind each other, and we got each other back no matter what. No matter the situation tonight, keep a positive attitude until the clock has zeros on it, man. Let's go get this win. Win on three. 1, 2, 3.
Win! Get it, boys! Get it, boys! Let's go! Come on, bring it up here, dog! Let's go! Hey, today is the day, dog! Come on, hey, it's up to us! Linebacker, dog! We set the trap on, dog! Bang, bang! Let's go! Hey, let's go! Bang, bang on three! 1, 2, 3! Bang, bang!
Terrible!
Last 2 weeks don't matter! It's all about the here and now! Make it count! Triggers on three, 1, 2, 3.
Schaub out of the gun, puts the leg down, gets the snap, throws to his right. It's picked off across the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, San Francisco. It happens again. Another interception for a touchdown as Tremaine Brock picked it off and took it to the house. Kaepernick with one back, hands off to Gordon.
Nice.
Blasted by Brian Cushing and friends for a loss at the 10. He hands off to Gore, running left. Gore powering through. He gets in. Touchdown, San Francisco. And Houston is down 2 scores early. Kaepernick gets the snap. He's got a little time now. Pocket collapsing. He's sacked. Whitney Mercilus with the honors. Fourth down. Gets the snap. Gets a good block. Throws downfield. Hits Davis. 40. 35 left sideline. The 30. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown 49ers. The Texans lose badly to the San Francisco 49ers. 34-3. Their third straight loss